knows there's two places in northern Minnesota, if you're visiting, you have to see. One is the CCC building in Cass Lake, which is the headquarters of the Chippewa National Forest. And the other place you have to see is...
For you, it would be the Hibbing High School.
Absolutely. There's no two places quite like that, those two places in northern Minnesota. And we're delighted to have local historian Dan Bergen along with photographer Larry Ryan in our studios this morning. They drove down from Hibbing, and they're going to tell us about a new DVD they have out about the history of Hibbing High School. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in, Larry.
Hey, good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good. And first of all, let's talk about the new DVD. Dan, you did kind of the research and the narration, and Larry, you're in charge of the photography and the visual presentation of it. What made you guys decide to do this, Dan?
Well, I started in 2002. I wrote a book on Hibbing High School. And I gave you a copy of that. You probably had a chance to peruse it maybe before we got here. And it's a unique building, and when I would go anywhere, I used to take kids overseas all the time when I was teaching in the high school. I taught at Hibbing High School for 33 years, and for 12 to 15 years or so, I would take groups overseas in the summer. And we'd go, be it London or in Paris, and we'd go to some opera house or some theater, and they'd say, "Wow, isn't this something?" I'd say, "Yeah, but you should see Hibbing High School," and nobody believed me. So that kind of was the genesis for the book that I put together about 8 years ago. Larry, you can tell how we came across the DVD.
Yeah, I just thought there'd be it was needed like more visual reference of what that theater looks like, because you can explain it and nobody believes you that that's a high school, and, you know, it's a public high school that's still being used.
Yeah, it's incredible. And Dan, I think in the DVD rightly say that the history of the high school, you can't really understand it until you see the history of Hibbing, the town itself.
Absolutely.
So give us that context.
Well, the Iron Range, every community is unique, as you well know. But Hibbing High School is kind of uniquely unique because it has the reputation, or it has the history of having been a town that literally moved. After its founding in 1893 by Frank Hibbing, be it by serendipity or whether he was that clever enough or not, he happened to pitch his prospector's tent atop the highest mercantile load or reservoir of iron ore in the world at that time. And as the town eventually grew, and it grew from what was now called the North 40, basically, which was the original town site, there were millions upon millions of tons of iron ore under the feet of the Hibbing residents. And the mining company owned that. And Hibbing became very rich thanks to a progressive mayor named Vic Power, who actually sued the mining companies. And he won the lawsuit to tax the mining companies, for the value of the iron ore that lay in the ground. Not just what they extracted, but the value that was there. So shortly before World War I, the village of Hibbing, which at that time is as large as Hibbing is now, it was about 16,000 residents, the village of Hibbing actually had a taxable base larger, just the village now, larger than the state of New Mexico. It spent more on civic improvements than the state of Delaware. And eventually the mining companies recaptured that land. You know, they began digging, particularly given the exigencies of World War I. So Hibbing began slowly to retreat one step ahead of giant earth movers. Eventually, about 190 buildings literally got up and walked south.
And, and before we go down to the new high school that was built in the 1920s, a lot of us, including me, had the image of the early mining towns on the range as pretty much being shacks and things. But Hibbing in the 1890s and 1910s, they built beautiful schools.
They began
Carnegie
building
libraries.
Schools in 1895, right, and eventually expanded to three of them up there. And the Lincoln High School, which the current Hibbing High School replaced, had a swimming pool in it, beautiful Carnegie Library on site. They had workers' hall.
Murals.
The city had so much money, they actually invited art dealers from out east, Chicago, New York, whatever, to bring their wares to Hibbing and the people voted on which ones they wanted.
Wow.
And there are some phenomenal works of art extant from that time period, and most of them have been saved in some form or another, and they're at the high school or at some of the public library in town now, or even a bank in town.
Yeah, yeah. But some very nice buildings were also just destroyed. They were leveled, weren't they?
Right. If you had a foundation that couldn't be moved, or if it was a solid building, it just plain knocked them down. A power plant, a city hall. And part of the trade-off in this move south was to, first of all, build a new complex in South Hibbing for the businesses. The mining company actually plotted the land for them and put three buildings up. One is the Andre Hotel, which up until the 60s was probably the social hub of the Iron Range. The other was the City Hall, which still stands, to replace the City Hall, which was demolished in North Hibbing. And then in 1920-23, they spent $4 million on a high school that beggars description. It just, there's nothing like Hibbing High School.
Castle in the Wilderness.
It is the fabled castle in the wilderness, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, is Howard Street, was that the main street of the new South Hibbing?
Correct. And it was named after a doctor who kind of prevented a typhoid epidemic in Hibbing.
Okay. So if we wanted to see the site of the old North Hibbing, would that be when we're standing looking over the Hull Rust Mine now, the big open pit?
Go and look at a hole. Because that's what's there. It's the largest hole in the world, about 4 miles long, maybe half mile wide or so, 400 miles deep, and that is the original town site, right? Nothing there now.
The DVD, Larry, I want to ask you about the challenges of creating the DVD, because there's old photographs as well as you had to, I think it was real important to present the artwork and the murals and the incredible, you don't call it architecture. What do you call the incredible hall?
Well, the central hallway is intended to make quite the impression. So it's marble steps, it's Casota marble, and it is technically Rococo architecture would be the description of how elaborate it is. But what few people recognize is all of that scroll work, including the auditorium ceiling, is actually braided horsehair covered in plaster.
Yeah.
They brought in artisans to do that.
Wow. How about doing the photography for this, Larry? What was the challenge?
Well, the biggest challenge was getting everything in the same format, you know, being the old photos and the new photos and the video, trying to keep everything all working together in one program. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, when we were doing this, it was a working school, you know, so you can't really go and set up scaffolding to make sure everything, all your videos level and everything. So you got to figure out new ways to work around it so everything's not crooked and...
Yeah. There are some interviews with some of the elders of the city of Hibbing. I see the three interviews of people just recently died, too, didn't they?
Yeah, we were lucky enough to catch Bruno Antonelli. God bless him, 99 years old. He was still playing racquetball.
Is that right? Yeah. He looks very fit.
Oh, he was a very fit man. And, and we caught him about 2 months before he happened to have a massive stroke and died.
I've been trying to interview Bruno for a long time.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, because I've known Bruno for almost since I moved to Hibbing, and he was just, you know, quite the guy, and it was just always fun to talk to, and I'd see him at the curling club and everywhere, and it's just like, oh, man.
And Carl Ellison was the swimming coach who replaced Pop Lukens. And then, God bless him, he had a massive stroke and died recently this fall.
A few months ago,
right. And we also, she's still alive, Patsy Reed High is a fascinating woman who still lives in Hibbing. So we had about, six people we interviewed, Larry, I think.
And Patsy is class of 36,
I believe so.
And Dan, you're class of what?
64.
64, okay. And... you let old Larry here, a packsacker, come in and help you with it. Now, Larry's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, but he's an awful talented individual.
Yeah, Larry, where are some of your photography assignments taking you?
Oh, I travel the world. I've been all over pretty much Asia, Europe, a lot of stuff in Europe.
Mm-hmm. I
do a lot of sports.
Do you?
Yeah, I work for a big sports agency out of Georgia.
Okay. What kind of sports
events? Mainly marathons, triathlons.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we cover the world with those. Iron Man, if you're familiar with
that. Oh, yeah. Have you ever done the Tour de France?
No, not the Tour de France. No.
A lot of crashes there this week.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. Yeah. Cobblestones were fun to watch, though.
Yeah, if you go in his studio, he has lanyards. When he brings one home, he simply hangs it on a hook. He's got lanyards, I would say, probably 15 inches thick. And you start paging through. One says Taiwan. Next one says Japan, North Korea, Wales, England, France.
Wow. We're talking with local historian Dan Bergen and photographer Larry Ryan about their new DVD about the history of Hibbing High School and the history of the town itself. It's just out. And how can people get a copy of the DVD?
Well, easiest way to one extent, it's online. If you'd go on eBay and just type in Hibbing High School, right, Larry?
Yeah, just search for Hibbing in eBay. It's on there.
If you're looking for stores to buy it, it will be in the Village Bookstore here in Grand Rapids.
Howard Street Books?
Howard Street Booksellers in Hibbing, Zimmy's in Hibbing, the Mind View in Hibbing.
Okay, yeah.
And we did put out two versions, as it were, although it's the same DVD. The DVD takes you through the history of the moving of Hibbing. That's part one. Part two is about 3 minutes on the building of Hibbing High School, and then we literally walk you through the building for about 33 minutes. That's consistent with both versions, but we have Hibbing High School and its history as a cover, and we also have the High School of Bob Dylan, because we released this during Dylan days in Hibbing. That's how we timed it.
Okay, good.
And we're hoping that Dylan aficionados might want to see where the genius grew up.
Yeah. You also have a little bit of the portrait of Rudy Perpich in there, Hibbing 1946, I think, class
of
46.
Yeah, we featured five past graduates, Kevin McHale, Rudy Perpich.
Was one of the Merritt boys, is there a Merritt boy portrait in Hibbing High School? One of the Merritt?
Well, the gentleman who created the six entrance murals, also he's from David Erickson from Duluth, also did a portrait of Leonidas Merritt, which is in the high school library, and that's a rarity because he didn't do that kind of stuff. And there's also a still life in the superintendent's office by the gentleman, and he didn't do that very often either. Wow.
And you got to see the murals. I mean, we cannot adequately describe the artwork alone. We can't adequately describe the auditorium either with the chandeliers and the incredible work. So you just got to visit Hibbing High School, and the DVD will give you a little introduction, too.
Well, the thing is, now it's under construction. So the last summer, this summer, next summer, the whole high school is under construction. So it's really
what's going on?
They're just my improvements. It's a three-year improvement project.
Okay.
So it's really hard to get in to see anything right now. Plus, a lot of places that we take you to, you can't see anyway.
Right. We take you above the high school stage. We take you into the organ loft. I mean, there's a functioning organ. When the school originally was built, again, talking about dollars, in 1924, they bought a concert organ from a vaudeville hall. In 1924 dollars, $24,000. It was a concert organ. There's two organ lofts in the high school that have close to 2,000 organ pipes in it. And we take you to those kinds of places.
Yeah, yeah. Who was the architect?
The architect was a company out of Duluth.
Bray
Architects, okay. Right.
Yeah. William A. Bray.
Right. They actually, there was a 10-acre site. They excavated it, backfilled it, so Hibbing High School seems to sit on a rise.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually put a railroad siding up to the front of the school to bring supplies in. But $4 million.
We've got to talk about the people of the town of Hibbing, and because there were so many different ethnic groups. And why do you think they came together to build something like this? Because some of them couldn't even understand each other's language. The kids would go to school, and they didn't speak English even. And at one time in the 20s, was there 8,000 kids enrolled the Hibbing High School?
Yes, Hibbing High School was a part of a Ford Foundation study in the 1950s as to why all those ethnic groups got along so well. But it was basically the prospect of jobs. I mean, that place paid decent wages. And at one time, I can't remember the actual numbers, but there's some 40 or 50 different ethnic varieties going to Hibbing High School at that time. And as you said, many of them, first generation, English was a second language. A lot of them went home to a Croatian-speaking parents or Italian or Norwegian. And Hibbing High School for a long time had adult education classes, naturalization or Americanization classes, where the kids would go to school during the day and the parents would go to school in the afternoon.
Uh-huh. Well, Mary Bitsianos, who we talked to, mm-hmm. they spoke Greek.
That's
she
right.
didn't know English when she went started at the school.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, they failed her the first year of school. And she went on to get a college education at the University of Minnesota. So mm-hmm. Hibbing High School served her well.
Yeah. Dan Bergen taught at Hibbing High School for 33 years. Did you teach history?
No, I taught the college preparatory English programs.
Oh, okay.
But that's close to history.
Yeah. Yeah, you could work it in, I bet. Yeah. The let's talk a little about Vic Power, because he was able to raise all this money to build these great buildings that we talk these days about, trying to find a dime here and a dime there to plow the streets. And Vic Power became a controversial character, and I believe he died mysteriously, didn't he? He was the mayor of Hibbing for how many terms?
Boy, I'm guessing, but I think like 12 terms or so. Right? He was in sequence there, right?
He took on the mining companies to get the tax money to build these things.
Correct, and made as many friends as enemies, I'm sure, at the time.
Yeah.
You're as well aware, maybe more, probably more so than I am, of the tremendous labor strife on the Iron Range in the teens and the 20s and the 30s with the unionization and even with some communist influx in there. But he fought for the miners and fought so that the mining companies would not take any more gross advantage of the people than they naturally would. I mean, human nature is human nature. They're as greedy today as they were then.
Mm-hmm.
And he just tried to get the dollars worth. But he turned those tax dollars into paved streets, public buildings.
Are the streets still heated? Or is that a myth?
No, the streets aren't heated, but the architects at Hibbing High School were perceptive enough to run their heating lines along the sidewalks so that when the snow falls in the winter, the heating lines naturally take the snow out.
Isn't that something?
Because Hibbing, the high school, had a heating plant which was large enough to service the community.
Really?
Should theirs fail.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, as Larry said, Hibbing High School is indescribable.
Yeah.
It's got cut glass chandeliers in it, 6 feet wide. They weigh about 600 pounds, and they're literally cut glass made, the lumens, the crystals, were made in a factory in Czechoslovakia that was bombed by the Germans in World War II. They're irreplaceable. They're priceless.
600 pounds those chandeliers weigh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, oh they do. Gosh.
And they go up and down
on
winches from the ceiling. And we show you that in the video.
So how's the school doing now? I mean, is it in good shape?
It seems to be. I mean, they're doing a lot of work to it, trying to keep it up to code.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, putting in the internets and, you know, all the stuff you need now for a high school. So.
Okay.
So you're talking a 90-year-old functioning building. When I graduated from Hibbing High School in 64, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think I graduated like maybe 360 people. The largest graduating class in Hibbing was close to 500. This year, Hibbing High School graduated 143 students.
So does that bode bad for the future?
Well, every one of those students is dollars.
Yeah.
And like any high school, any public school in the nation, they're struggling for those dollars right now. It's pretty tough to maintain a building like that with fewer students, fewer dollars coming in.
Does its role in the National Register of Historic Places, does that help with any of the, does that have a financial benefit?
It probably hinders, because then you have so much more work you have to do it in order to do anything.
Oh, to maintain it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Everything's got to be the same and up to code or, you know, up to their standards. And so I'm sure every improvement they want to do in the school has got to get approved by probably a lot of people up the chain. So.
But thankfully, the school board over the generations has been perceptive enough to preserve that building.
Yeah. Well, Dan Bergen and Larry Ryan, thank you so much for driving down and being in our studios today, talking with us about your new DVD about the history of Hibbing High School. And there's plenty of good stuff you could talk a lot more about in terms of the history of Hibbing itself. Thanks for coming in today.
Scott, thank you very much for having us.
Good luck with the DVD. And if people want more information about how to get the DVD, they can call us here at KAXE. And Dan has left us a copy of the DVD, Dan and Larry, so thanks for that, too. Give us a call if you want more information, 218-326-1234.